And we continue with Conversations with the Mayors, again presented by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. More at carolinachamber.org. We've got Mayor Pam Heminger now from the town of Chapel Hill here in the studio, and I like this format. Mayor Lavelle at the top, you
well,
at the
I
bottom.
Crossed her in the entryway, and I said, oh my gosh, I have the wrong day? Because then my week is gone, and I'm in the right place at the right time. You never know.
Oh, I never know even when I'm in here at the right time.
It's all a blur.
She was earlier this hour saying, well, you know everything that's going on because you talk to so many people. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing half the time.
Well, it's easier to
know
what someone
else.
It's easier to know what someone else is doing.
That is 100% correct.
Sorry.
So, okay. So, first of all, same question that I started with Mayor Lavelle on. Chancellor Folt's last day on the job, significant development for the Chapel Hill Carborough community as well as UNC. What are your thoughts?
So, I was at her goodbye party last night, and I took a proclamation to thank her. She's actually done a lot of wonderful things for our community. All the arts everywhere, the triple net zero environmental policy, helping students learn in different ways, the scholarship funding, but mostly we thanked her for courageous act of taking down the pedestal before she left. That's going to help our community move forward now. A chance to heal and start, and the next person coming in won't have to go through all that, I hope. Again. So we were just very grateful for her leadership. I enjoyed working with her. We did a lot with lighting up downtown and making it safer and cleaner and changing out to LEDs. So those are just some of the minor things that we did together, but we wish her well. Really didn't think that this was the right way to have a chancellor leave. I mean, seriously, it's not good for the university. And so for our community, it's hard too, because this is an abrupt change. You know, announcing a change that someone's leaving and having a gradual transition phase, that's just healthier for everyone involved. I will say one of the things we worked really, really hard on was all of the innovation. That was a big partnership between the town, the county, the university, and she played an integral part in totally believing and putting resources and dedication to that. And I believe that's the future of our community together, is all this innovation and creative energy that goes into all that. So we will miss her drive and enthusiasm and hope that we get someone that feels similarly with these same kinds of values.
Have you been involved in the conversation with Bill Roper? I know he's been talking with a lot of people on campus,
No, we will. We will hear what they come back with, but I think they have had to sort of pull themselves together and say, what are we looking for in an interim while we search for a full-time? But, you know, he's an interim too, but he's been with our community and been with the healthcare system, and he's perfectly capable of getting all this done.
Yep. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. So you mentioned among the many initiatives with UNC switching out LED light bulbs downtown, and that leads me to ask about the report the release that just came out a couple of days ago from the town on the amount of money that the town has saved on energy over the past
few years.
We have
been working really, really hard, and that'll tie into one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I came in and we talked about how do we reduce our carbon footprint and save our resources at the same time. And so we've gone through these revisions and looking at everything that we have control over. And it's interesting, though, the town of Chapel Hill with all its facilities is only 2% of the whole pie of the energy use in town. University is a huge percent, and they've worked really, really hard with their triple net zero environmental efforts. So we went through, we didn't take any other buildings offline. We changed out light bulbs in our park and ride lot. In our all of our facilities, we re-insulated, we did some things, and we are dropping our energy bill for the third year in a row.
So, nice.
Yes, it is nice. It saves taxpayer dollars, but it's the
good,
right thing to do. It sets a good example. But we need to take it further. And this was something that the council galvanized at our retreat about. We want to come up with our own climate action plan. We're not feeling the support from the federal government. The governor is all in. We're not sure where the state legislature is on all this. Working with Duke Energy is one of our partners. But there was a community gathering, too, on Sunday of people in our community interested in working on these initiatives. I've signed on to all these climate mayors, solar mayors, anything we can learn. And we get valuable information from other communities that are doing really impressive work, plus our own university, and how to pull people together. And we talked about this at the Assembly of Governments. We're going to formalize a pull together so that we work with each of our sustainability officers and our elected officials to educate folks, to come up with a climate action plan that we can do right now. When we had the meetings across the state, the governor had the EDF come in, the Environmental Defense Fund, come in and meet with the different cities and municipalities, county governments to talk about things we could do, there was a 10-point plan crafted. And while that's great, every one of those items required state legislative changes. And we don't know that that's going to happen in the next 2 years. So we have to have things we can do now and get started on, because we feel like our window is very short to make a huge shift. So those conversations take organization. One of the things I learned this summer and want to have here, we're going to get that started, is they had a tree replenishment program. So very excited to think about getting citizens involved and having a committee that learns, explores, actually gets the trees, help people plant them in their yards, and replenish our community with trees that will help us for the future. So steps like that in an action plan that we can take action on in our own community, I think are going to be what galvanizes us together, and I'm really excited about that.
How is the partnership with Duke Energy going? So I know on the one hand, Duke Energy is really good if you want to talk to them about reducing energy use. I think it's fair to say that there are a lot of people, and I know Mark Markopoulos is trying to get the word out about pushing Duke Energy to be much more proactive about switching to alternative and renewable sources of energy.
And I applaud those efforts all along. Duke Energy is a good partner, but they need to help be a better partner, if that makes sense. And even talking to the university and the conversations they're having about switching technologies, they're coming to present to us, by the way. UNC is coming to present to us on February 13th about their plans for their cogen plant. And the university runs on a steam system that's burning coal and natural gas. They want to move totally to natural gas. That's spoiler alert. What does that mean? Where is it going for the long-term future? But they actually generate electricity. And so they've been working with Duke Energy, too, to get different kinds of contracts. Solar is huge in North Carolina, but it can be even bigger and better. And like I said, communities that never had a chance to have economic development can now have solar farms and generate those. But we have to be able to work and network it all together. And that's where Duke Energy has to come be a partner at the table. I will tell you, the towns and the league work, we've been working with Duke Energy to replace streetlights. We, as individual towns, we can't just go around replacing all of our light bulbs. We have to have a plan, a partnership with them. We want their help and financial support and the bulbs, to be honest with you, to do all this to reduce our carbon footprint and our energy bills. And so we are working along those lines. We've done it in certain sections, but if we need to know a timetable and a plan to go forward.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, and I'm reflecting on the fact that we are in a very warm room right now because we've got this western-facing window, and when the sun comes in, during the winter time, it really does bake up the room. So solar energy is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It generates a lot of energy.
And the technology has improved so much in solar energy that it's more cost-effective now. There's still there's federal tax credits. Mm-hmm. There's Duke Energy tax credits. The state kind of pulled back on those. But it's become more efficient and more cost efficient for individuals. I will tell you, when you see other communities that aren't as in other countries, they all have solar hot water heaters, you know, in remote parts, because you don't, that's cool. I mean, that's a huge energy draw. So I think we need to look at those technologies and evaluate and help people understand what they have as available for them as homeowners and business owners in their community as well.
What else is on your agenda?
So last
we've both
night,
got these, it's a very busy week this week.
Well, we got a lot done last night. We had lots of petitions at our last night council meeting, which was great. We'd like to hear what people are thinking we need to be involved in, and we're going to be working on those. But we also talked about calling a public meeting to explore extending water and sewer to the south part of town. We're getting some pressure to develop there, but we're just trying to explore if there's a reason to do it or not. So we're going to be look for information to come out. We need to gather more information first before we have this meeting to show where the line is, to show what parcels may or may not be. You know, what are the goals? Are there goals? Does it make sense? Do we need to preserve it as the green space? We don't know. So we're going to call a public meeting and have that, and then it'll come back to council at some point as we're doing this charting our future and our future land use map. So we're looking at all that. We get an update about this teen initiative we started last year, and it was fascinating. The approach that our staff took, I thought, was wonderful about just starting to talk to teens to find out where they are now. You know, what are they thinking now? What do they want to see? And they did a series of interviews, but we have over 5,000 teens in our community. And do they feel safe and welcome and connected to our community? What are they looking for? What service providers? So we pulled the service providers that we knew about together the first time, and then they actually knew about other groups that we didn't even know about. And we pulled them even more people the second time. We'll continue that network as well, that service providers to teens need to know about each other's existence so they can really help facilitate when teens have needs. And as a town, what are we doing? You know, as our teen center we know isn't very big, there's also a teen room at the library. And they told a funny story about how all the teenagers show up, drop their book bags, go running downstairs to the snack machines, then come running back up. And so, and they're like, well, hey, did you ever think about putting the snack machines like next to the teen room? Like, well, that makes a lot of
not
sense.
Not be a bad idea. So, yeah. Although I go to the basement, so put new ones
okay,
up
so
in
additional,
the...
Okay, so additional. Okay, so we're hearing this.
Ones,
okay, we're
yeah.
hearing additional. So, but just asking them what they'd like to see. Are the hours, do they work for them? Do the spaces work for them? Mm-hmm. We were delighted to hear that they feel very comfortable using the transit system, that they actually use the transit system, and
cool.
that felt like a welcoming thing to do. They like the greenways. They like being downtown on Franklin Street. Not everybody. There were some differences about feeling welcome in certain places and establishments, and just talking about those kinds of things. I would love to have a teen center someday, but we need to take steps in the meantime to work towards making our community more welcoming and inclusive of our young people. So that was going on. Mm-hmm. Then we had a petition about the I-40 widening project, about the interchange at Highway 86, Eubanks Road, and the interchange. The neighborhood, Northwoods, that the one proposal goes through is not anything the council wanted to support, but we wanted to make sure we expressed our opinion about what we'd like to see at this intersection with Eubanks Road. And so we put those forward, and we've got that all printed out, and comments have to be into the DOT by February 8th, so we're putting that all together, and then copying all of our elected officials and sending it forward to the transportation board, those kinds of things. We'd love to keep the Eubanks left-turning intersection as open as long as possible. We know that they foresee that it will become impossible, but we're not sure that's going to be right away. So they want to build this project, by the way, starting in 2 years.
Right.
We would love to see an extra lane added on to the exit ramp so that if their true goal is to make sure there's no cars backing up on the highway, an extra lane could help diffuse that without having us to close down the Eubanks intersection. We care about noise, we care about pedestrian bike interaction, and we care about staggering the project so we're not locking everybody off of I-40 in the morning. So we put those forward as well. That was out there. We had a retreat last weekend where we talked about these climate action plans, we talked about our budget, we talked about setting goals and priorities, and actually to-do lists for the next coming years.
Cool.
So that was really, really, it was good. And then I attended the Pee Wee Holmes dedication at the Church of the Advocate on Sunday, and that was just really what a great example of partnership, working together to make. And the vicar, she calls herself the vicar, talked about how many different partnerships played in different ways on this project, and what a wonderful example. And excited for more opportunities for Pee Wee Homes. Pee Wee Homes, it's a different definition than tiny homes. Pee Wee Homes are attached to the ground, they're not on wheels,
okay.
taller ceilings, designed by a group. I think they're forming a nonprofit. I was a little unclear about that, but apparently the words are not interchangeable.
Okay.
So that's okay.
Good
there
to know.
Go. Oh. And they provide home for people whose income is 30% of the average median income, or who have experienced homelessness in the past, and just trying to work with all parts of our community. But
awesome.
Near a transit line, not near a transit line, a community garden, not, so there's just different things to consider, but we're hopeful more people will be interested in having tiny, Pee Wee Homes on their properties that would be suitable.
Or tiny homes, but Pee Wee Homes right now.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, there we go.
So speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and we've got to wrap up in a couple of minutes, but speaking of transit lines, Monday there's going to be a community meeting at the Chapel Hill Public Library on multi-use paths,
Yay.
Bike, pedestrian paths, all going along with the north-south bus rapid transit corridor too, and that's an exciting meeting coming up.
We really want to make those alternative modes of transportation really work for folks. We want them to be in pathways that actually get you from here to there, places people want to go. And so we're working really, really hard on that. And that's, again, multi-faceted. We want to reduce our carbon footprint. And getting people walking in on bikes and using public transit are all part of that equation. I'll have one last thing. The Chapel Hill, we're starting the Chapel Hill Pints and Pitches. This is going to be a monthly event. event. It's going to start on February 13th on our website. It's at 5:30 p.m., and it's to join fellow founders, startup teams, freelancers. I'd love to be a freelancer. And it just sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I lands for free. No. And local professionals for networking and gathering.
You should get paid for doing that, at least.
So, anyway, we're going to start this initiative. We're really building our ecosystem here. We have a lot more co-working space. We've now graduated all these companies from launch, many of which are staying here now. We want people to know that we want you to grow your business here, that we want to help you do that, and that we want you to network with other people doing the same thing so that you can all help each other and we can be part of that ecosystem. So this is going to be a joint collaboration. And again, it'll start February 13th, and we'll be doing this once a month at Top of the Hill in the back room.
Or super cool. Back bar. Awesome.
Yeah, I get that back
room. I love
room.
The great room is on the one side, and the back bar is on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And then there's the back room and the great bar, which is upstairs, right?
If you know, just show up. We'll find where you need to be. Just show up. So we're excited about that.
Townofchapelhill.org for more info. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.